Hi, I'd just like to start by making a few acknowledgements. I think it's very important to acknowledge people who help you on your way. And this is my book, Complicated Pleasures, which is available tonight in a very limited quantity, but a very special price. And you can ask me freely after about how special the price is. So these are the acknowledgements from this book. Acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is due to the editors of the following journal, in which a number of these poems, or versions of them, originally appeared. The Alpha Male, Brewery Bridge, Crinus, The Dagenham Quarterly, Echolocation, The Fairy Point Review, Grief, Hilda's Obsession, The Infirmary Review, Just Like It Was Before, Klepto, Lazy Fucker, Magnanimity, No True Road, Oyster Haven, Poets for the War, Queen Takes Rook Check, The Review of Plug Arguments, Some Girls Wander by Mistake, Turner's Cross, Until, Vatic, With, The Xanadu Times, The Yearbook of Constantine, Zither. Thanks very much. If you want to submit your poems to the Review of Club Arguments, or The Yearbook of Constantine, it did not actually exist, so
yeah,
everything
is
down.
This is not a club, like,
no, it's not a club anymore.
I've heard of it.
So I thought it was much.
Thank
you, Poets for the War.
Well, Poets for the War would be a very thin volume. And this is my second poem I want to read tonight. A poem about jogging. Compare jogging in the gym to jogging in the outside world. One thing that about jogging in the gym that everybody here probably knows, because Poets are notorious for their keep it reading. I know you're not all writing poems, you're all out there clocking up the miles. Basically, when you're jogging in the gym, you're always, gym is full of mirrors. Whenever you're working out, like, you're always looking in the mirrors, you know? So you're looking at yourself, basically. That's just something that features in the poem, which is called Middle Distance. Strange intimacy and love treadmill, romance in the post-human epoch, are the titles of two books I will never write, about the hours we spent jogging by the river, when the factories sparkled on the estuary's far side, showering the water with the glitter of nightshifts and sleepless machines, we huffed and puffed through the melting twilight, as the gravel whispered and the chalk dust flew, steady in the August air. With steady acceleration, we moved through those laneways as the jogger's monotonous elation came over us. This is so much nicer than the gym you panted. That endless treadmill and MTV, all that staring into the middle distance of the mirror, at some moist, heaving version of yourself, straining against the glass, sprinting for the world, to be spat, drenched and uncertain, into existence. I picked up the pace as the evening wilted, but you stayed on my shoulder, only inches behind. This jogging together is the strangest intimacy, when our breathing harmonizes and our rhythms mingle in a fugue of breaths and heartbeats, and the sweat sprays from our bodies heaving in tandem. But it can't last, and after our sprint finish, when I was breathing the sea salt from your beach brown skin and from your hair, some clammy tang, I realized you would always be somewhere in the middle distance. That I could no more reach you than I could my reflection in the gym's mirror. That I could repeat these steps forever and never come close. I looked out at the nitrified river, at the bubbles popping gently on its agitated surface, and then my breath came back. Thank you. This is about a guy who's a carpet maker, tapestry maker if you will, who gets the job from the Sultan to make a tapestry portrait of the Sultan's wife. The Sultan's wife is the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. No one can ever see her, like, she's that beautiful, she's locked away. But this guy is let in to do the carpet, you know? Do the portrait. Yeah. And it's called the Magic Carpet. Because I am the greatest in his realm, your husband sent for me. Let me alone with you in the inner palace, where, on pain of death, no man may tread. My commission was to render your face in silk and thread of gold, the most delicate of textiles. But of course, the inevitable happened, for the rumors of your beauty were greatly exaggerated. And I set out to make your portrait unfinishable. Every night, I heard the women and eunuchs murmur in the corridor. Hush, hush, the master is working. When every night, my work was withering, stitch by ripped stitch, in my own hand. How long can I explain the delay? My doings and undoing, this Penelopean dithering. Your face shimmers on the floor beneath me, but I cannot insert the final thread of vermilion, jade, or blue, for fear that we have lift off before I can even step aside, and it carries me away from you. You're too kind, you're too kind. No, you are, really. The next thing I want to do is put a guy by the shredder. You all know what a shredder is, the device used for shredding documents. And this is for the guy home by the home shredder for domestic use. Small portable shredder. It's called David's Community. He'd only stopped in for a capsicum, yogurt, some duck liver pate when he saw it. Protect yourself from identity tests. Keep sensitive personal info out of the wrong hands. Somehow, it ended up in his shopping bag. That Thursday, spilled ribbons into the green bin. Job done, he thought. Better safe than sorry, he thought. Next week, the device was next to the letterbox. No sooner was the mail at the door than he shredded it. His wife chuckled. While she was out of the gym, he shredded her passport. An item a day, then two. P45 and birth certificate. Their daughter's dinosaur pictures off the fridge. To set some questions. Finally, one Saturday, while the wife was with Cueva at the hockey practice, he fed their shredder, fed the shredder their title deed, sundry photographs, her birthday card archives and their YouTube ticket stuff. 25 designer ties and a dozen from Dunn's that choked it. He walked out in his shirt sleeves through the housing estate, past the half-filled semi heat, over the waste ground and into the woods, pushing for days uphill towards the tangled center, trying to ignore the thorns that rent and reddened his shirt, trousers, his foot blisters, his stomach blindness, his hobbits and horny children flickering among the undergrowth, the grey skin stretched over their sloped round forehead, the way they move, their giggling. Thank you very much. Next one I want to do is a love poem. How am I doing for time, actually?
Absolutely grand.
I'm okay? Grand.
Good mile.
Okay. The next one's a love poem, called Tomorrow She Whispers. It's just about two people kind of dancing to a busker in the rain. Yeah, that sounds very, very romantic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now that I think of it, yeah. Here it goes anyway. You are beautiful as you are because you do not know that you are beautiful. For the gifts offered in ignorance are the ones that sustain. Take this ring through which we drunkenly dance. What does it know of us or the busker's drunken tune? But still it drenches us gently, glittering in the dust in the street lights. And if it stopped, what would we have to dance through, to touch or take a chance? Take this singer howling for coins. What do the stumbling fingers know when they fill the square with sound? Of our sweet fear, as we dance round and round the edge of something new. But still they slide and fumble, and anger the fret to noise. Take these things, street lights, guitar, and rain. What do they know of the name we have for them, or that we name them at all? But still they offer themselves day after day for the naming, and make the poem possible, and enter it gently, uncertainly, just as your life enters mine. You were a little like the sun. What does it know of heat or distance, or those of us that seek this to life, will depend on it. Take this ring, take this singer, take these things we have done and have not done. You were a little like the sun with your ignorant beauty, that burns for me maybe, or maybe just for everyone. Thanks a million. I'm sorry for Crossroads month. I was going to watch you next. Obviously it's going to be stay at home, like, it's not going to be dance or anything. But it's just a question of which one would be. That's giving away what you want that. Okay, I do want to go to this kind of concept that called black noise. Black noise is kind of difficult to describe. It's sort of like white noise, it's sort of more in the brain. It's kind of black noise has been described as an aural shadow, or a sonic afterimage, or memorably as a mingled blizzard of second-hand voices. It is a ghost that wanders darkly through the chambers of the air forever. For once listened to, it can never be unheard. It takes a woman, late 20s, grey tracksuit, long hair. She has come, for whatever reason, to the sheltered bay. Her steps record perfectly in its damp and yielding sound as she power walks along the tideline. This is the best part of her day, she thinks, as the wind fiddles with her blown black hair and she stares out at the metallic, unrippled surface of the sea. Even here, however, those ghosts of sun continue. Though she is quite alone, she can hear it faintly, black noise. Behind the swash and backwash of those tender waves that are hardly enough to shift the shingle. but it's a kid blended from Hanover Street Tango and the Nike Rondo of the washing machine, of every insidious jingle of the breakfast show, of ringtones and oar drumming, and of sullen humming of the office AC. She angles her head, but it's still there, staining the water in consistent sizzling, and the haranguing of the gulls. It is restored and repetitive, and is no longer in the air. Thanks very much. That was actually a poem, by the way. I have two more. Before I finish up, first one is called Veronica Guerin. Who died there 11 years ago. It's called The Memory of Veronica Guerin. She must have known. As a junkie squirmed out like grub from the tour block, shuffling their sunshine bodies in search of deer and Vianetta, she dried down to the tenement at evening, past betting shops, past bars, the whole hushed truck with murderers in the building's shadows. They were shabby entrepreneurs, almost children, but their ridiculous Marvellian sobriquet, zombie and the vampire, with their contented tyranny like patches of schoolyard. She must have known they were stupid and callous and children. All that long year, mortality became forbidding and penetrable as police day. She must have known, as she continued to file the patches from the lands of shattered windows, the traffic gossip, to shape in installments the teasing penny dreadfuls. She must have known about the indicator tick-tock trophies at the traffic light, about the black bird taking wings from the traffic light, about her glance into the rear-view mirror at the motorbike, advancing through a grubby swirl of diesel fumes, into the sun, into the shotgun's muzzle, its black zero that was forever. Yeah, I'm going to finish up now with something really happy. No. And thanks, Paul, for having me here tonight. And this is the title poem of my book, Complicated Pleasures, which, that story again, I wrote this about being fed, listening to, the night the Gulf War started actually, being fed, listening to the radio, to Lyric FM, which I never actually listened to, but it was 96. This was actually, this occasion I was allegedly listening to Lyric FM, and this thing about, what's his name again? Shostakovich symphony that he wrote during the Second World War, and it just happened that the announcer said that the invasion of Iraq had begun. So, this is kind of what happened. Does that actually make sense? But this poem was inspired by that occasion. It's called Complicated Pleasures. Thank you very much for listening. We were in bed together listening to lyrics. It was special about the Russians when the tanks rolled into Babylon. For a second, I could feel their engines and the desert floor vibrating in the radio big rattling of our bedrooms as the drums expanded at the center of the lemongrass as those sinister cellos invaded the melody. We'd been trained for the hell of it to speak our own tongue, and I was banging on about Iberia when their eyelids closed. For the laws and the laws, I whispered, are no carve on since late the Lorna. The Nile are no stone trees in the Mara in Barcelona. Cut us off. But as I whispered, sleep, my darling, sleep into your sleeping air, I found myself thinking of Magnus, of what I learned in school about the attraction of opposites. That two of us, so similar, could only ever repel one another. For the closer I clutched your compact body, the further apart we grew. You have 11 laughs and 7 cents, and I know them like a language. But what does it matter when the bombs start falling that you could never love me? Then you turned in my arms, and it was midnight again on the beach at Ardmore, when the starlight collected in some rock pool or rain pool among the ragged crags at the water's edge. And the two of us sat there, and we didn't even breathe, determined not to disturb that puddle of fluff, the tiny light show and its rippling shadow, the miniature star chart that for a moment inhabited. And he whispered that the planets like us are slaves to magnetism, gravity's prisoners, as they dance the same circles again and again. And even the stars ramble mathematically, their glitter preordained to the last flash. You turned again, and I looked at the night sky through your attic window, and thought the satellites gliding and swiveling in their infinite silence, as they gaze down on humanity fumbling, on you and me as you sniffled against my neck and the drumming flooded your bedroom, on powerful men in offices, pressing buttons that push buttons in powerful men on the tanks like ants advancing through the room. Those pitiless satellites, knowing for certain in their whispering circuit, that, like our island's fragile language, like Gaudi's tentacles in the Leningrad city, even worse, like your teeth and earth four hands, the very stars through which they wander would be gone, with the billion sinners that orbit them, extinguished in a heartbeat, absolved instantly, as if your hand had brushed the water slowly. Garbage.